This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
They're calling this a vote-a-rama on the Senate floor. It's the final series of votes clearing the way to an historic vote for tax cuts. Our next guest just cast some of his votes before heading to our camera. Georgia Republican Senator David Perdue is a yes on the bill. He stepped out to visit with us and tell us why. Senator, good to see you tonight.
Hi, Shannon.
Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit about the criticism, because you know there is plenty of it out there. Folks saying, even on your side of the aisle, Senator Bob Corker unable to vote for this because of his fiscal concerns about what it's going to do to the deficit. How do you answer those?
Well, Bob's a really good friend of mine. He and I both are very concerned about the long-term debt crisis that we have. I'm just more optimistic that this bill is going to ignite our economy. President Trump said job one this year was getting the economy going again. So we pulled back on regulations, unleashed our energy potential, and now tonight we have a historic opportunity to change this tax code and make American companies and workers competitive again with the rest of the world.
All right, we're going to break down some of the fact from fiction with an economist coming up a little bit later. But you know, what we're hearing are two completely different sets of talking points, because what we hear on the Republican side is this is going to help working families. It's going to be great for them. From the Democrats, we hear that that's all a lie. This is going to help rich old guys, and it's going to hurt lower and middle income people. Here is what Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said about your plans a little time ago.
The Republican Party is abandoning its long-held principles to please its political paymasters. Bad move for the Republicans, as well as a bad move for America.
I've heard a lot from the Senate floor tonight. I heard Senator Bernie Sanders saying that you're essentially robbing the Treasury in the middle of the night while no one's watching. Senator Wyden also saying that essentially this is getting done, especially the health care part of it, without a single major hearing that's been public. So how do you respond to those criticisms from across the aisle?
Well, Shannon, over the last many months, we've had over 70 hearings in the Senate, open hearings about this issue of tax reform. But let's talk about American people that are going to benefit from this. A median income family of four today, making $73,000 a year, will have their taxes cut over 60%, Shannon. And a single mom with one child making $41,000 a year, which is a median income for a single worker, we'll get a 75% tax cut. And more importantly than that, over 3 million, some between 3 and 6 million people are estimated, will actually have their taxes go to zero. And more important than that, the best beneficiary of this is the person that will get a job, because the economy is going to be ignited. President Trump has really pushed us and encouraged us and cajoled us to really make this thing where it will help American businesses grow. And I believe we've accomplished that. We are the highest corporate tax rate in the world. And the corporate tax rate, Shannon, is a huge penalty on the American worker. I know. I've lived in Asia. I've worked all over the world. We are going to become tonight more competitive with the rest of the world.
Like any benefit, it has to be discerned, right? And right now, the pundits, especially the Trump haters, no matter what it is, I mean, this derangement syndrome that is existing in our country that's causing ludicrous things like Kate Steinle decision, and you know, some of the punditry and the perspective here, is it any wonder? I mean, if that's what you focus on, I mean, we've learned this along the way, at least I would say a percentage of us have learned that you get what you focus on. And you got Donald Trump, who's focusing on making it better for the middle class, doing something about health care, doing something about tax reform. That is the focus. And I appreciate from his administration what I'm hearing on a daily basis. That's his number one question, is how are we doing? How are we doing with job creation? And, a bit of this tax reform, because it's so convoluted with everybody's perspective. And the fact of the matter is that they really don't know. But historical precedent would tell us that what Donald Trump and the Republicans are trying to do is good for America, that it will create jobs, and it'll give us an opportunity to deal with some of these other issues that have kind of been outliers in all this. And we're going to talk a little bit later on with Ed Conard, He's the expert, former partner with Bain Capital, and he's going to come on. We're going to talk a little bit more in detail about that, but before we do, Dr. Ann Pierce will be joining us. Focuses Korea, North Korea specifically, and we'll see what she has to say. Stay with us. It's 5 minutes after.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It only makes sense. I mean, after all, it's our money, right? Why do we want to waste it? And why shouldn't we ask about return on investment for all the money that's gone on into this big bureaucracy instead of it being just some big dark hole that our money is wasted? I mean, to the point that even Tom Coburn at one point with his waste book admitted there was over $450 billion, reported over $450 billion of duplicative waste. And that's just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. So we continue the fight. But right now we're going to talk about things overseas, particularly that are North Korean, with our foreign policy analyst, the one, the only, Dr. Ann Pierce joins us right now. Dr. Pierce, how are you?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I know it's been a busy season for you, so I appreciate having some time that we can get caught up on everything that is North Korea. As we know, last week they launched an ICBM missile. We're finding out more details that though its range had a trajectory that it could now strike any city in the U.S., they're still having problems with re-entry. It's not ready for prime time, as they say, but definitely they're ahead of schedule, and this is a bit daunting, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is daunting. I mean, as I've said, what we're seeing and what we've been seeing for the last several years is the exponential progress of North Korea's nuclear and missile programs. So, yeah, now North Korea has launched its third intercontinental ballistic missile, which flew 2,800 miles into space and landed in waters off Japan. And this trajectory does mean it could reach anywhere in the U.S. And, yes, there are probably some heat shield issues, but given how quickly North Korea is advancing all its other programs, we certainly shouldn't reassure ourselves about that. And when you pair that with the fact that in September, North Korea tested a nuclear weapon, which was clearly within the range of a powerful hydrogen bomb, and then also in September tested intermediate range missiles, and in addition is testing these surface-to-air missiles that it's now put into mass production. I mean, you just go on, and what you're seeing here is this program, unfortunately, charging ahead. And the question I keep asking again and again, and that I ask in my book, A Perilous Path, is when are we going to stop waiting until the threat is grave to apply extreme pressure onto extremist aggressor regimes? It's a sad exercise to think about where we might have been if we had started this maximum pressure campaign, which the administration is now undergoing on North Korea, a lot earlier. And it's just a shame that we continuously have to play catch-up with these really threatening, fanatical, bellicose regimes. We seem to have to do it again and again in history.
Well, it does beg the question, but this is what you get when you've got a policy and something that America, our leaders, have become quite adept at, and that is kicking the can down the road. And this is another instance of it, to your point.
Yeah, yeah. And amazingly, there are still people saying, oh, we're being way too harsh with North Korea. We have to understand all the dynamics and how they feel threatened by us and this and that. And we need to go back to negotiating with them and engaging with them. And that statement that we need to go back to negotiations really amazes me, because what you saw during the Obama-Clinton-Kerry years and to some extent before was this attempt to negotiate and engage, which failed again and again. No matter how many times North Korea backed out of negotiations, refused to participate in negotiations, or violated previous negotiated terms, the previous approach was to always hold out carrots if only North Korea would get back to the negotiating table. And just to really put to rest that idea that negotiations have worked, as much as we saw references, respectful references to six-party talks in the press all throughout the Obama years, hardly anyone knows or mentions that those six-party talks never got going because of North Korea's intransigence.
Exactly.
Never had the talks.
Right.
So in my mind, it's pressure on North Korea that has been inadequate, because in the past, sure, we had sanctions, but they were minimalistic and they were incremental. We never imposed them in a consistent way, and we never even scratched the surface of the kind of pressure we could have put on North Korea a long time ago.
Well, I think the big problem that we have is we keep imposing our reality on people that have no consideration and understanding of our reality. And as a result, here they are, they're launching missiles. They're being rather provocative, and they're saying, hey, look, we're coming to get you. They've already declared war on the United States, and for some reason, our politicians and our diplomats are saying, they're just kidding.
Oh, I tell you.
I mean, and it disengages us from the real threat here of what is going on, to your point, Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, yeah. I was just out to dinner with someone who said, I couldn't believe I was hearing this again. I've heard this so many times at academic conferences. You know, North Korea is a fear regime, and if we can somehow alleviate their fear of us, and they feel surrounded by Western powers, and they said, don't forget that axis of evil speech and how much that upset North Korea. And I said, you know, I really don't think so. North Korea, hundreds of times a day, before that speech, after that speech, today, calls us evil, calls us the worst names impossible, calls us, you know, dogs that they should stamp out with their feet. And I really don't think that a president putting them in the evil category is what is causing this. I think what is causing North Korea's behavior is that this is a fanatical, communist, messianic regime that believes it deserves to take over the entire North Korean peninsula, believes the democratic states are wrong, and then you have the instability and fanaticism of the leader himself, Kim Jong-un. So you compare that with the fanatical ideology, and as you said so well, we in the West are constantly trying to see them in our mold, to think that they're so-called rational actors and that, oh, if only we are more reasonable, they'll be more reasonable. And I just wish we would look more at history to see how well that turned out. Of course, that was exactly what people kept saying about Hitler as he was rising. Oh, well, if only we negotiate a little more and alleviate some of their concerns about the Versailles Treaty, et cetera, et cetera, he's going to come around for sure. Well, that was imputing our values on to Hitler.
Exactly. And it continues on today. It's like as if we didn't learn our lessons. The thing is amazing, and when you consider in terms of how much of an outlier North Korea is, I mean, look what happened with China. Look what happened with South Korea. Look at other people around them who are culturally closer certainly than we are here in the West, and how they've been able to adapt and find a way and do the right thing for their people. But yet you have this very dark, dark country and leadership that continues to oppress and now threaten the world. And the world just wants to yawn and shrug over this. I think it's much more dangerous than what people are calling it out to be. And our conversation with Dr. Ann Pierce will continue on the other side of the break. I'm Bill Martinez. It's 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com. We'll never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. You got it?
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Heaven, hold me together before ever.
You're
the America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Dr. Ann Pierce continues with us, author of the book A Perilous Path, The Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. There is so, you know, when we talk about North Korea, particularly, Ann, A Perilous Path, you know, you pointed out in your book, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry, but this is a trajectory that this country has been on for a while that has given birth to Korea. And here we are having to deal with the North Koreans, this rogue regime, the threat, the impending threat, and I think is which is quite serious, as you do, which some people just want to, you know, try to explain away in much the same way as you said in World War II, that we tried to you know, ameliorate and somehow justify an Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people who will point out, rightly so, that we have the stronger military, but I think they're overlooking to some extent the strength of North Korea's conventional weapons and the fact that North Korea is determined in their ideology to unite the South Korea with the North, and that it these weapons give it the capacity to blackmail us. If they can threaten to have nuclear weapons flying in our direction, you know, the obvious hope would be, can we at least blackmail the United States to get out of the Korean Peninsula and to reduce their presence there? And, you know, with a principled a peace through strength kind of approach, that wouldn't happen, but you get the right administration in power, and you never know what they might give away to North Korea. And then the bottom line is we're talking about nuclear weapons, and whoever has the advantage, the idea that we could actually be forced to some kind of war where weapons are used, that is the worst scenario, because obviously all the civilians over there and the poor North Korean people themselves suffering under that atrocity-committing regime where they're mostly ignored. Hardly anybody talks about the just absolutely extreme human rights violations in that country. And as I say in A Perilous Path in my chapter on North Korea, it isn't just that North Korea has camps. It's that the whole, you could say the whole country is one big camp, because the oppression is so pervasive, and so
they don't know any better. And this is what they've been raised with. It's kind of like the way they train elephants, right? They start out as babies, and they put heavy chains on them, and then by the time they're adults, it's just a rope that half the time isn't even hooked up to anything. They're just so used to having something on their leg that holds them back. That limits their thinking and possibilities. And so, you know, the North Koreans don't know better. You know, the rest of the world has been blocked away from them. And then when you hear the stories of people who escape North Korea, it is horrendous. And why that cannot rally the international community just on the basis of human rights to do something about this is absolutely astonishing to me, because this is no longer just mere anecdotal, you know, a couple of different, you know, references. I mean, this is serious as to what's going on, not to mention what they did to one of our own citizens for, you know, taking down a propaganda poster.
Yeah, it's so true. And this administration does have what is called a maximum pressure campaign on North Korea. That's designed to deter North Korea, to change its calculus, and to pressure North Korea's enablers to stop enabling them. And there are all these components to that. We've stepped up military exercises and coordination with South Korea and Japan in a big way. We've accelerated missile defense deployment to the region. We've enacted stronger sanctions and the toughest UN Security Council resolutions to date, pressuring various companies that allow North Korean, various countries that allow North Korean front companies, and now we're really putting pressure on China. Again, we keep trying to get China to cut off oil exports to North Korea, since China really does, by exporting oil and other ways, subsidize the North Korean regime. But getting back to human rights, I really believe that putting a huge emphasis on human rights is not only the moral thing to do, but also would be really a positive thing to do strategically right now. And the reason is China, because China is not only consolidating power and centralizing power and moving more in a Maoist direction right now, China is also working very hard to be the world's next superpower. You know, everybody's heard about this island-building campaign they have in the South China Sea and the way they're militarizing those islands. But China's ambitions are way beyond that, into Africa, the Middle East, and beyond.
Exactly.
But what's interesting about all these efforts that China's putting out there strategically and militarily to grow its power is China is also putting billions into increasing its image and into this worldwide propaganda and public relations campaign. So a point I made in a recent article is a great way to get China to come around our way more would to be to expose how China supports North Korea and this atrocity-committing regime. That would just ruin China's image campaign.
Exactly.
Again and again, focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think increased emphasis on China's trade and pressuring China on trade could really help us with our leverage on China for the same reason. China wants to be the world leader in trade and has all these what only look, if you look at them, like imperialistic ambitions around the world. So I think a next step might be to start challenging China's membership in the World Trade Organization and its most favored nation status, in addition to all the pressure the administration is putting on intellectual property theft and other things.
Exactly.
Human rights and trade issues, I think, might be a lever that we're not pulling in even enough in order to get China to help us more with North Korea.
Well, you hear the State Department in the way they are addressing this. It is measured. I applaud the administration. I think with some of the policies that they have enacted here, and of course, we're hard pressed to get, you know, a good reading and a report on it, and because of this Trump derangement system syndrome that has taken place in the media and those on the left that are doing everything they can to counter any kind of victory. And what Donald Trump is doing, this is the mess he inherited. And he's taken this on and really, you know, I mean, you talk about putting a line in the sand. He's actually put the line in the sand, defined it very clearly, and he is enacting policies to support that that prescription.
Yeah, and as I said, this maximum pressure campaign has a lot of different components, from missile defense deployment to joint exercises to all these diplomatic efforts. Like when Tillerson and McMaster go to Asia, they're meeting individually with their counterparts over there to try to convince them to stop trade with North Korea. And they're, Nikki Haley is just in overdrive in the UN trying to convince countries to actually enforce the sanctions that the United States has succeeded in imposing on North Korea. So there's this all-out kind of diplomatic and military effort. And as I said, I do think the human rights part of it is a little underplayed, and that could be a good thing to do, not only morally, but also strategically. But, the press is giving this administration no credit for this maximum pressure campaign. And what's really, I find it actually creepy, is that journalists see Trump and they identify his bombastic rhetoric, and they rightly understand that he can at times be superficial. He can at times make statements that are appalling. I was appalled during the campaign at some of his statements that seemed to flatter dictators. I mean,
right.
But what's amazing is that these journalists take their critique of Trump's occasional superficial statements, and then they turn that into their whole superficial and false
reporting
description of Trump policy. And they actually ignore policy. They just report on the rhetoric, and they ignore the policies.
And we're misserved at that. Dr. Ann Pierce with us on Bill Martinez Live.
For your songs and stories for soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. In many parts of the country, it's starting to get cooler, and some areas have already had a significant amount of snow. Perhaps where you live, rapid changes in temperatures, highs and lows, can make you susceptible to getting a cold or even the flu. One of the places veterans have forgotten about for getting their flu shots is the Veterans Administration. So here's your songs and stories for soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. Go to the VA.gov website and find your closest community health care center. Give them a call and see if they're giving flu shots now. And if not, find out when they're going to start. Ask about what days and times they will administer the shots and the best time for you to come. And by the way, while you're on the phone with them, ask them about pneumonia shots. Get your shots now and avoid the long lines during flu season standing in front of all those sick people. This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Tis the season to be jolly.
From the Duck Boys, yes, a little, seasonal music. Why not? 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Ed Conard is with us, a New York Times bestselling author, visiting scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former partner with Bain Capital, and we always appreciate his perspective here, especially now that we're talking tax reform. Maybe, Ed, we can get outside of this Trump derangement syndrome that has compromised our understanding and reporting of what tax reform in this country looks like.
Boy, isn't that true?
Yeah. Life could be a dream, shaboom, shaboom, I think they said, right? So.
I think in this tax reform, there's certain things I think are really valuable to the United States. Mm-hmm. Some things where I scratch my head a little bit, but overall I think the trade-offs look pretty interesting. I think the corporate tax cut is really an accelerator for growth. I think it's actually going to produce more revenue than it costs. It costs about $500 billion over the next 10 years, but the Joint Committee on Taxation said it would produce about $400 billion of additional revenue. Mm-hmm. And there's another $400 billion of taxes that get extended year after year after year that scoring assumes they're we're never going to collect those taxes, but we were never going to collect the taxes anyway because we extend all those tax cuts anyhow. So I think the corporate tax is actually going to produce a lot of revenue. We're going to plow a lot of that back into a middle-class tax cut. I think the middle-class tax cut is bigger than the amount of revenue that we're going to produce from the corporate tax cut. So I think we're going to push the deficit up more than maybe we should at a time when we're You know, where the deficit's risen from 33% of GDP prior to the financial crisis, it's 75% today, and the Congressional Budget Office says it's on its way to 150% as the baby boomers retire over the next 30 years if we don't raise taxes. So I'm a little leery about adding to the deficit. I would probably scale the middle class tax cut a little bit more, but I think we're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, we're moving in the right direction. Now, the dynamic tension of what the CBO and that is rating in terms of just the bill as it would stand, and of course the way they rate these things is on what they know. They're not a business advisor or consultant in terms of saying, okay, right now, I mean, clearly the economy in less than a year under Donald Trump has risen to 3%. The CBO said the new normal prior was going to be 1.8, maybe 2%. And Donald Trump came in saying, I'm thinking we could be 3 to 5% pretty quick here, especially if we get tax reform. But that projection and that prospect is somewhat lost in translation when we deal with some of these numbers, is it not?
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with what you said. There is politics in the Congressional Budget Office, and I think when the economy grew slowly in the 8 years, when we should have seen a rebound from the recession that we never saw, and then we saw slow growth after that, they definitely dialed down their forecast to, you might say, justify the fact that that the economy was growing slowly, and they continue to use those slow growth forecast today.
Right.
And they do other things as well, like they use what I said, they use something called current law scoring. So an example of this would be there's lots of corporate tax cuts where every year we renew them to try to get corporations to invest more money in research and development and things like that. And year after year, we renew those tax cuts. So we're never going to collect those taxes. And the scoring assumes that those things will expire and we'll collect the taxes. So when we say we're going to make some of those things permanent, they say, aha, you're contributing to the deficit, even though in the real world you haven't really contributed to the deficit at all. Mm-hmm. Another thing you see is in offshore taxes. We have a very, very high 35% rate. The rest of the world charges a very low rate for our companies to be able to compete. The government knows they can't pay 35% and compete, so they let them move a lot of profits overseas. Those profits never come back to the United States. They never pay taxes on those profits. And the scoring assumes that someday all that money's going to come back and they're going to pay this absurdly high rate. But meanwhile, a lot of that money has come back to the United States in ways that the government allows, where they don't have to pay the rate because they can't be competitive if they do pay the rate. So when we lower it to 20%, to recognize the fact that companies can't be competitive in a world where the rate's 15 to 20%, they say, aha, you're never going to collect those 35% taxes that you were never going to collect anyway, but we're going to count that against you and say that it increases the deficit. And I do think that's why in this corporate tax cut, I think it's going to produce more revenue in the real world. Forget about all this political scoring and slow growth. It's going to produce a lot more revenue in the real world, and it's going to produce more growth because you just can't have a tax rate at 35% when
everybody else is
15 to 20% tax rate in the rest
exactly.
of the world.
Yeah, people do that, which they get rewarded for, including businesses. So, and this has been the case. And, you know, going back to what you mentioned earlier with the previous administration, and traditionally coming out of every recession, we were kind of given a slingshot out of the recession. And it was as if the Democrats and Barack Obama purposely, you know, held back and compromised that slingshot effect by increasing all these regulations.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you can see that plain as day in the numbers. In the 25 years before the Obama administration, productivity grew at 2.5% a year, and productivity is the key to growth. In the 2 years when the Obama administration passed the Dodd-Frank Act, the Obamacare, and all the other anti-business regulations, in those 2 years before the regulations were passed, productivity grew at 3% a year. And since then, it's grown at 0.5% a year. So we've had 8 years at 0.5% a year. That is a disaster for our working families because it's hard to get a pay raise if you only have 0.5% of productivity growth. You need productivity growth of 2.5 to 3%. And to get there, you need a lot of investment. And when you try to charge a 35% tax rate, that investment's going to land overseas instead of here. And you need a lot of innovation and new ideas and entrepreneurial risk-taking in order to get the productivity rates back up. And we've seen a little drifting upwards in the productivity rates, but the Obama administration was an absolute killer for growth, an absolute killer for productivity, a killer for innovation. And as you say, we should have seen a rebound and then 2.5% growth. We saw no rebound and 0.5% growth.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing, we'll be a little bit psychological here, Ed, if you can allow me, and that is that, in my opinion, productivity equates to happiness. Our country has not been very happy. You cannot be satisfied and fulfilled at that low productivity level. And we've been saying, even prior to Donald Trump's administration, is that there is this pent-up productivity just waiting to bust loose. And it seems that with the policies that are being enacted by this current administration, you've got people dreaming big dreams again. Stock market will probably go, they're saying, you know, it could be 25,000 this week, week's end. I mean, there's a lot of positive signs here. People are getting back to work. We've got the lowest unemployment rate historically, and they're not the kind of jobs, low-level, you know, paying jobs, fast food type jobs that we got under the previous administration. I mean, we're getting some good job opportunities here.
You know, I agree with you that the there's a lot of reason for optimism, and that optimism builds on itself because if you look forward into the future and what you see is slow growth, high taxes, heavy regulation, you say, geez, I'm going to be more cautious. I'm not going to take that risk. I'm not going to start that business at the margin. I'm not going to invest that extra money. I should live for today and not for tomorrow. When you look out into the future and you see less regulation, lower taxes, faster growth rate, higher productivity growth, you say, maybe I'll save a little more today and invest for the future because the future's starting to look a lot brighter. And that is a positive feedback loop that can be very, very powerful if you give it enough time gradually over time. If you expect, you know, big changes in a very short period of time, I think you can get a little bit disappointed. But if you look at the United States relative to Europe and Japan, since the beginning of the 1990s, we were gradually getting more and more productive. We were growing faster than they were. Our wages were rising faster than they were. You know, the financial crisis put a dent in it, but then the Obama administration came in after.
Right. We got to go to break. We got more from Ed right after this. Stay with us.
Hey there, did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right, get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
This report is brought to you by Herbalife. Year after year, the National Institute of Health reports, the average American gains about a pound around the holiday season. It may not seem like much, but over the course of a lifetime, around a pound a year can really add up. According to Dr. John Agwunobi, former Assistant Secretary of Health for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and Chief Health and Nutrition Officer for Herbalife Nutrition, creating opportunities to eat healthy foods during the holidays and limiting candy, sugar-sweetened beverages, and fast food can go a long way to living a healthier and happier life. So, to help satisfy sweet tooth cravings with a tasty, nutritious snack option, this holiday season, Herbalife Nutrition introduced Protein Bites, fun-sized, on-the-go treats with 4 grams of protein and no artificial sweeteners. Remember, the holiday season doesn't have to be a detriment to your health goals. With some simple planning and healthy snacks, you can enjoy the holidays and stay on track for the new year. For more information, visit www.herbalife.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly?
Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun. You'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Getting America back on track.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem.
Bill Martinez live.
It's the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon, Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Ed Conard is with us, New York Times bestselling author, visiting scholar with the American Enterprise Institute. I'll tell you, Ed and I could spend at least an hour. I mean, I would count it a privilege, and maybe one time we've got to make some time for this, because what Ed can share with you in terms of the reality and the clear perspective of the economy. Just one topic alone, Ed, on income inequality. You know, people want to get, you know, all liberals, progressives want to get all amped up about income inequality, but they don't talk about productive inequality, do they?
Well, you know, they always talk about trickle down, mm-hmm. and I describe it as trickle up, which is it's kind of an honor and a privilege to get taxed, but first you got to create $5 of value for everybody else before you get a dollar in your pocket to get taxed on. And so, you know, they forget that small amounts of profits actually trickle up in order to end up in taxable income, and that when I'm competing against another competitor, they're also offering a product which you wouldn't buy something if it wasn't worth more than you were paying for it. Exactly. You know, I think economists estimate that it's about $5 is about the amount of value you have to create to charge a customer a dollar in order to get the profits, in order to pay the taxes. So you really, it's trickle up. It's not really the trickle down that that the Democrats want to describe.
And they underestimate what goes in to, you know, these dreams that people have that keep them up all night, to say, I want to be an entrepreneur. Or I want to have my own business, you know, taking second mortgages, borrowing money from in-laws to make their dreams realized. And you know, the risk reward is there. And it's not that everybody gets the golden ring. I mean, it's a percentage. I guess it's Darwinian, because you've got to survive. And it's the strong that do survive the free market system.
No, I think it's a very small amount of success, which bubbles up from a very large pool of failure. Mm-hmm. And the more you want to tax the success that bubbles up, the less risk the people will try to take to try to produce those successes. And I think you can think of it a little bit like, you know, trying to be an actor in Hollywood. What is the chances of actually succeeding? They're pretty low.
Exactly.
But people, you know, sacrifice a lot to try to get that slim possibility of success. And, you know, you have to recognize that, a lot of failure goes into one random lucky, you know, I won't call it just lucky, it's fortunate in that the people worked hard, but they also got fortunate too, because one success bubbles up, but, you know, it could have been Facebook, but it could have been MySpace. It's hard to know which one's actually going to succeed. And we have to recognize that a lot of risk-taking goes on in order to produce it, and as well, lots of mistakes get made. So if you want to get out there and say, oh, you made a mistake, we're gonna regulate that, we're going to regulate this, we're going to regulate that. We want an economy where no mistakes are made. You don't get any growth if you don't take any risk and you don't make any mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what I liked about Hewlett-Packard in their founding. One of the things that stuck out when I studied that company, Ed, was that they celebrated mistakes. I thought, wow, what a concept that they welcome mistakes in much the same way that that other inventors who celebrated mistakes and said, hey, it was not so much a mistake. I just found out one of the ways it's not going to work. You know, kind of thing.
It's the only way, because if we knew it worked, we'd go do it.
Yes.
All the things that we know are already being done. There's already competitors supplying those things. So when you try to find the next product, when you try to find the next innovation, you have to run a lot of experiments to find them because you don't know what they are. And if you don't get any mistakes, you don't get any growth.
Exactly.
And I mean mistakes, not only mistakes, I mean mistakes that you look backwards and say, how in the world did we do that, or why did we do that? You still have to allow for just a lot of blatant problems and mistakes if you want to get the growth. You try to regulate all that stuff away, you don't get any risk-taking, you don't get any success, you don't get any growth.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, I want to talk about your column going back to tax reform, and now that we have a Senate bill approved, we got the House, they're going to come together and hammer out something in the middle that it looks like, at least on the surface, it should be win-win for most of the people. But one thing in particular that you were opposing was the Rubio Lee Amendment. Tell our audience about that, if you would, Ed.
So that was it's really a trade-off between how big the middle class tax deduction is versus how big the corporate tax deduction is. And if you look at all the analysis, all of the growth comes from the corporate tax deduction. All of the deficit comes from the middle class tax deduction. Now, you know, we already have an extraordinary amount of debt. And let's not kid ourselves, if the government spends the money, somebody has to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my argument was that I'd like to see the corporate tax rate held down at 20%, because that is what produces all the growth in this tax bill, rather than raising it to 22%, which is what the Rubio Lee Amendment did. And I would leave the middle class tax cut at the $850 billion it's estimated to be, instead of making it even bigger, because you have more deficit and slower growth, which all that does, a couple different things. One, it leaves our kids with more debt. I think that hurts our kids. I don't think it helps our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, you know, if we borrow that money from investors, investment goes down so that it can fund consumption, which goes up. That slows down growth.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good thing. And if we borrow the money from offshore lenders like the Chinese, we have to run trade deficits to do that. It's an accounting identity. We have to run trade deficits. And one or two things happen in trade deficits. A middle-class worker loses their job to a Chinese worker who's willing to save more money and buy
exactly.
that government debt. So what they gain in tax deduction, they lose in wages. I don't think that's a good trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, at best, we end up borrowing a whole bunch of money from the Chinese, but they do it by lending us Chinese goods. So we end up stimulating their economy and employing their people instead of our people. That isn't so great either. Yes, we get a one-time increase in consumption, but it doesn't do anything to increase our growth rate. It increases their growth rate instead of our growth rate, and it leaves our kids with more debt. So at the margin, I would keep the corporate tax rate as low as possible, 20% instead mm-hmm. of the 22% that was proposed.
Right.
And I thought that $850 billion of deficit or of tax cuts to the middle class gets pretty close to the amount of revenue we might collect in the corporate side. We give it to the middle class. I'm for that. But I don't like the idea of running up even bigger deficits and slowing the growth rate down.
Exactly.
That's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I agree. I agree with you. And if we know that those are the benchmarks and what we're managing, and because of Trump and the nature of his management style, you know, probably for the first time ever, we might have some accountability on this and we might see some success.
Yeah, no, I think, I think he's done a very good job to this point in letting the Congress and then the Senate work their process. Mm-hmm. I think if you try to overmanage it, you don't get to, there's lots of different competing contingencies. It's hard to herd the cats. We see that in the Senate. We saw it with the trying to repeal Obamacare.
Exactly.
You have to let those processes work their way out, and I think they're coming to a pretty good point on the Rubio Lee amendment. I would have said I wouldn't have pushed it in the direction they were trying to push it in. I like the direction where it in fact landed, and you know, just for the sake of your audience, of 100 votes, 79 were opposed to Rubio Lee, and 21 were for it. So ultimately, the Senate came out on the same side of the trade-off as I did.
Yes, exactly. Well, I know that Donald Trump over the weekend had kind of threw an echo out there and said, yeah, you know, he was open to get up to 22%. I was excited about 15. The compromise up to 20 was like, okay, and now that both the House and the Senate have agreed that 20 is the number, I think that's the number, that's the number you manage to, and that's going to be up to the administration, as they have been doing, unlike some of the things that happened on the Democratic side where they pass a bill and just let it go out there and, you know, let the bureaucracy handle it, because there's just such great empirical evidence to demonstrate that when you do that, it's very successful. Of course, I'm joking.
Well, I agree with you that 15 would have been even better than 20, and it would have accelerated the growth even more. I was disappointed when they talked about moving it up to 22, because there's a lot of companies out there that are, you know, they're paying 12.5% to Ireland in order to pay zero to the United States. And if you try to charge them 22, they're not going to bring those profits back to the United States.
Exactly.
They're going to continue to pay 12.5%. 15 would have insured. But I'll say this, the Senate bill is actually quite thoughtful because it lowers the rate to 20, but it does one other thing as well, which is it creates a vehicle for the taxation of intellectual property, which is what all this overseas profits really are, at 12.5%, which makes us ultra competitive with the rest of the world. It's a really clever idea because it makes no sense to let these guys pay 12.5% to Ireland. Just collect it ourselves. Let us get
exactly.
to 12.5% because they're never going to pay. They're never going to pay more than what the rest of the world is charging.
Yeah, and the rest of the difference between 12.5% and 20%, you can almost work out the differential by saying, am I going to make, am I more efficient back in the United States versus being in Ireland? And some of the corporate entities are, you know, they're doing the numbers. And, 20%, they can make it work. 22 might be a little bit of a problem, to your point.
I don't disagree with that, and that's why I push for 20.
Well, we'll keep pushing, and we'll keep them honest. Ed Conard has been with us, New York Times bestselling author, visiting scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former partner with Bain Capital. Ed, always a pleasure to have you with us. Have a great holiday, sir.
Bill, thank you for including me.
You got it.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin's Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Actual.